by talking Patriots, and nobody better to do that with than our friend Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Good afternoon, Christopher.
Oh, you flatter me, my friend. Thank you very much. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. And by the way, a happy belated anniversary. Did I see 10 years with the Globe?
5 years, actually. 5 years, yeah. It was July of 2019. So it was, I started there as a web producer and onward and upward since then. So it's been a very fun five-year run. This is literally, Rich, the only thing I wanted to do when I was 10 years old. So I've been lucky enough to be able to do it. So I'm a lucky guy.
Well, it seems like 10 because it's been 10 years worth of quality.
There you go. I like that. I like that. I like your thinking.
Well, let's talk about last night's preseason game number two. I thought overall a pretty good game on both sides of the football, and certainly a pretty nice performance from young Drake May last night.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting game. I'll say this for, you know, as preseason games go, I think we learned a lot. I think that, you know, as you mentioned, I thought it was an excellent step forward for Drake May. Look, you know, a lot of it was against twos and threes, but he was still able to execute on a relatively consistent basis. He put together the only touchdown drive of the night for the Patriots, and I thought he handled himself very well. Now it's stacking on that. It's moving forward. It's continuing to improve. It's going to be really interesting this week. Gerard Mayo talked to us this morning, and he was asked if, you know, there's a chance that Drake gets more reps with the ones or gets reps with the starting offensive line over the course of the week. And he said, you know, well, we're going to decide that as the week goes on. So ultimately, to answer your question, it was a good performance for the young quarterback. I thought there were a couple other good things. There was some bad mixed in there as well. But I think all in all, if you're New England, you have to be happy with the way things turned out with your rookie quarterback last night.
Yeah, you know, he had that nice rushing touchdown, engineered a decent drive, and boy, maybe the best pass he threw all night was the one that Baker couldn't catch.
Yeah, that would have been nice to connect with. He's been itching, and he talked to us about this. He's been itching to go downfield, you know, in camp and kind of open things up a little bit, and you could see his eyes kind of light up afterward when he talked about it. So it was not a huge surprise. It would have been nice to, you know, make that connection. But at the same time, as we said before, you know, this is a process, and he was able to do enough good things where last night represented a step forward for him.
So as we look at the quarterback picture, and of course there's still one more preseason game left to go, but first of all, do you see any scenario where they keep more than two quarterbacks on the active roster?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And again, there's some moving parts there when you discuss all four quarterbacks. If you feel comfortable enough with Drake May to possibly, you know, think about him moving into a starting role through injury or whatever the case may be in the month of September, then you start to think, well, you know, maybe we put, you know, we take a chance and move Milton to the practice squad, or we talk about a possible deal for Bailey Zappe with another team. And so there's a lot of moving parts. I think that you have to be really secure with your rookie quarterback as your number two, because if Jacoby Brissett gets injured, ends up going down, you know, you have to say, okay, well, if he's ready to go yet. If he's not ready to go, you don't think he's ready to go. I imagine Bailey Zappe is the number two. But so really, you know, there's a lot to consider there between now and week one.
Well, whoever the quarterback is, they could use a little more protection back there. The O-line certainly did not look that great last night. Surely somewhere out there, there's a tackle who could help this team.
Well, you'd hope so if you're the Patriots. I know that they have not really done a whole lot of work on the veteran tackles that are out there. Let's just say that. There are guys like David Bakhtiari, Charles Leno Jr., Donovan Smith. They have not reached out to them at this point. So I think they are hoping that either someone will shake loose throughout the waiver process, you could maybe play the trade, or you would end up, you know, figuring something out with the group that you have and hoping that a core for a Wallace or Calvin Anderson or, you know, someone would step to the fore. I think in a perfect world, Okorafor would kind of, you know, seize that job and they'd kind of run with it. I also think, too, Rich, there is a conversation to be had when it comes to Michael Wenyu and the possibility of moving him to left tackle. He's your best and most proficient offensive lineman. And, you know, you know that the center position is relatively secure with a guy like David Andrews. So maybe you think about moving Wenyu back to tackle on the left side. So there's a lot of different possibilities, like the quarterback position. But one of the things that struck me, I guess, ultimately last night was when Mayo said, look, the offensive line's got to play better. You need more from that offensive line group moving forward. It's going to be interesting to see how they go about trying to augment that position as we get closer to week one.
Given that they do get some protection back there for whoever's quarterback, do you think we'll see more of a pass-oriented approach this year?
No, I think that they're going to be relatively 50-50 because I honestly believe, and look, part of this is going to rely on the offensive line. It always does. But I think this is going to be a pretty good running team this year. Ramondre Stevenson has looked very good over the course of camp. He's healthy. He's back to where he needs to be. I believe he's lost a little bit of weight. But if everything works out well, you're looking at a guy who should average between 4 and 5 yards a carry and challenge the 1,000-yard mark. So I think they're going to be multiple. I think they're going to have different looks. I think one of the things that we do know about this offense, they're going to be rooted in kind of a West Coast attack, and we're going to see quarterbacks on the run a lot, and that's a positive thing. There's going to be lots of bootlegs, there's going to be motion. So you're going to see a few different things about this offense that are different than what we've seen here over the last 20-plus years.
We're talking with Christopher Price here on Downtown. Now, overall, the defense seemed pretty solid last night. What were your impressions?
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's a lot to like about this defense. Even without Judon and Barmore in the lineup, I still think that they have the possibility of being a top-10 defense again this year. But the margin for error vis-a-vis health, I think, is a little thinner this year than it's been in past years. You can't afford to lose guys like Godshaw or Bentley or Duggar or Peppers or Gonzalez. You have to be able to keep them healthy. If you can keep them healthy, I think it's going to be a good front. I think you're going to get a really good year from guys like Jeremiah Farms, guys like Keon White. I think White is really poised for a tremendous year. I really do. I think one of the things that's going to be interesting, and I was talking about this with someone last night, is to quote Moneyball, I think they're going to try and recreate Matthew Judon in the aggregate with a group of guys like Joshua Uche, Anthony Jennings, a little bit of Keon White, some of those guys are going to be part of the collective. They're going to be asked to kind of step forward, in addition to the guys up front who are going to be asked to do more because Barmore is not there. It's going to be much more kind of spread out a little bit. I would think of the Bill Belichick line. The old Bill Belichick line would ask him, so-and-so would go down, an elite player would go down, and he would say, you just can't replace him with one player. I think both in these cases, when you talk about Judon, when you talk about Barmore, I think it's going to be multiple guys who are going to be asked to step up and do more in their absence.
I thought it was an interesting comment from Gerard Mayo that he sees the Judon trade as a win-win in that it opens up some opportunities for other guys to step up.
Yeah, it does. And again, I think Keon White is going to be the guy. There's going to be multiple guys who are going to be asked to do more and step up, but I think Keon White is going to be the guy. I was struck by something that Rob Ninkovich said this week in his podcast, that White was one of the reasons why I think Judon was a little bit expendable, because the NFL, the payment plan is more often based on, future as opposed to past. And the Patriots like what White can do, and they like, the base that he had last year. Well, let's try and, get some out of him, get more out of him, at least from a value perspective. Guys on a rookie deal as opposed to a guy who's going to have a $6.5 million in base salary due to this year. So I agree with you. I think there's going to be multiple guys who are going to get an opportunity to do more in the post-Matthew Judon era.
Special teams overall pretty good last night. A very exciting kick return from David Wallace.
David Wallace is a great story. I love these. We've talked about these guys before, these undrafted free agents. I don't think Wallace is going to make the final 53, but I think David Wallace is a great practice squad type. I was joking with another reporter where we will be able to go out to practice every Wednesday and see David Wallace in an opposing team's penny, where he will be, he will be playing the role of an opposing wide receiver. So I think, look, you need to be able to distinguish yourself when you're a guy like him. And I think he's done very well from a special teams perspective. My podcast partner, Chris Hogan, says make it hard for them to cut you. And you'll become a problem. And I think his performance in some of these games, he's made it hard. He's injected himself into the conversation when you talk about guys who've earned a right to be able to stick around after Labor Day.
Well, with that in mind, I always like to ask you at this point in the year, for a guy, maybe two, that could be flying under the radar that you think can step up and have a larger than expected role on this year's team.
He's not really under the radar, but I really like Jeremiah Ferns. You know, this is a guy who played a little bit last year and kind of grew into a role where he was part of that defensive rotation up front. He is a guy who I think he's dynamite. He's one of those guys who is really kind of, you know, come from, I don't want to say he's come out of nowhere, but look, 5 years ago, he was playing in like the Arena League. And so, you know, he's a guy who's really kind of asserted himself and made the most of his opportunities. And now he's going to be asked to do more alongside Godshaw up front. Now without Christian Barmore in the lineup, you know, they're guys like that. That, you know, there's a handful of guys like that on this roster who I think have a real opportunity. Let me think of a couple others here real quickly off the top of my head. I like Christian Ellis a little bit. I think he's kind of a special teams type of linebacker who might be, you know, the back end of the 53 roster or another practice squad guy. You want a sneaky good, this is a guy who's been around a couple of years, but a guy who has shown a sneaky good chemistry with Jacoby Brissett, and I think for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is he has a background in an Alex Van Pelt offense in Cleveland, is Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper has done really well with the opportunities that he's been given over the course of the summer, and I know that he's stepped forward, especially over the last week or so, because Hunter Henry's been out. So give me Austin Hooper and give me, you know, a little David Wallace and give me Jeremiah Farms. Those are my three guys who I think are kind of under the radar type, who I think are going to be fun to watch this year.
All right, time to put the pressure on here, Mr. Price. Over under for wins, 7.
I'm going to go just barely under. That 7's a really good number, though, if everything comes together for this team. I think, look, if they go over 7, I've said this before, I think they should have a duck boat parade for this team. You know, the way this roster is constructed, I think the Judon trade just underscores the fact that this is going to be a rebuilding year and people need to manage their expectations accordingly. If they win more than 7, that'd be great. I think if you're a Patriots fan, what you want to do is you want to see steady improvement, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, over the course of the year. There's a case to be made that the blueprint for this team to follow was the 1993 team under Bill Parcells. I'm not going to compare Parcells to Mayo, but that's when they had Drew Bledsoe, and they had a young team, and they had a young offense, and they went out of the gate. I think first they were 1-11 out of the gate, and then they won like 3 or 4 in December, and they were kind of cresting, and you could see the team kind of start to come together, start to gel. That's what you want to see with this team. You want to see gradual improvement over the course of the year, and I think it's realistic to expect Drake May to start by the end of the year. So look, if they win 6 games and Drake May looks good by the end of the year, and Polk and Baker are doing what they can do when this defense is keeping them competitive, I think 6 wins, a 6-11 finish with a look of a team that's on the rise, I think is positive. And I think that takes you into 2025 because then you have 4 picks in the top 100. At least right now you project to have 4 picks in the top 100. You have a ton of cap space. And you have a talented young quarterback. That's a really good position to be in. So I think I would take just barely the under there, but I think that the ceiling for this roster, 2025, 2026, and beyond, is very optimistic.
Great stuff. As always, Christopher Price of the Boston Globe, great talking with you. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Look forward to catching up with you throughout the season.
I love it. Sounds great, my friend. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Looking forward to it. Christopher Price, The Globe, here on Downtown, getting us underway on Friday.